Well, that's a great truth. Your grace is enough. But I have a great question to ask you this morning. Is it enough for you to really trust that God's promise is true for your life? Across these last 5 weeks, we've been studying together Enough, discovering joy, real joy, lasting joy, through simplicity and generosity. And my heart's been encouraged, and you've sent me wonderful emails, finding again real joy in just being more simple, simplifying your life. This morning, I want us to conclude this five-week series by thinking together about some of the great truths that we have learned, and then give you an opportunity to truly put God's promise to the test. Is His grace really enough? As we bring our commitment cards for our ministry year beginning in January, bring them forward and offer them to God. To prepare our hearts this morning, we hear from God's Word. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, written by King Solomon, credited as being the wisest human being that ever lived, son of King David. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, King Solomon speaks these words of power and promise when he writes, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine." Do you hear in this passage that God delights to provide for His people, but He is waiting for us to express our faith in His grace, our faith in His capacity to lavishly pour upon us His forgiveness, His encouragement, His love, yes, His provision. King Solomon says, honor God, and He will honor you in abundant ways. If you believe that is the truth of God, then will you say, thank the Lord? That was a little weak. Today, I want you to passionately claim with me the possibility that if we do honor God as God asks that we honor Him, we will release Him to work in our lives in abundant ways. So again, I say, if you believe this is the truth of God, if you believe this is God's word for you today, will you say, thank you, God? Three things that I think we've learned together in this series that I want to claim. First of all, the character of our God as Father is a character that delights in asking, delights when we ask for His help. Do you realize that? You're not a bother to God. You're not an accident to God. God wants to bless you and guide you through every challenge of life. We've been thinking these 5 weeks especially about the financial and material challenges of life. Our God is waiting for you to ask Him for His help. Do you remember being a young parent? I've observed a lot of young parents in this church. Do you remember that time when your children finally begin to talk and they look up to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, I need your help? They're reaching up to you. Now try to remember that. What did that feel like? Go away, kid, you bother me. No. How did that make you feel for your child? One to whom you gave life. How did that make you feel when that child asked for your help? Well, how did it feel? Pretty good, right? Where do you think that feeling came from? That is the character of our God. He wants to help you through the financial challenges of your life. Do you believe that? We need not go on this morning unless you absolutely believe with me. God likes to be asked for His help. Well, the second thing that we've learned in this series is there's real power in simplicity. There's real joy that comes in downsizing, because there is power in learning to be content. Now, though it's not in St. Paul's list of the nine fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, I believe the biblical concept of contentment has a lot to do with peace, has a lot to do with being settled in one's spirit, grateful for what one has. St. Paul's our great teacher who told us, I have learned in whatever circumstance I am in to be content. Hey, we've learned the power of that over these weeks, being able to say, thank you, God, for what I have. I'm blessed and I am grateful. I'm looking forward to the day that self-storage businesses go out of business. Now, you may own a bunch of self-storage rental places, and I'm not against you, but remember several weeks ago we discovered there's 1.9 billion square feet of self-storage space in America? 1.9 billion square feet of space to put all the stuff that we just thought we had to have, and now we don't know what to do with it? I'm looking forward to the day that men and women in America finally learn the gift of simplicity and real contentment. But the third thing that we've learned together in this series is the power of generosity, giving in faith, and how giving in faith as a mysterious gift of God opens to us an incredible state of blessedness. And that's what I want to think about today. That's what Solomon is talking about here. When we are honest and faithful and true to order our lives the way God desires for us to order our lives, it opens us to amazing stuff happening. And that's what I want to think about today. A farmer has a field and it's barren. There's nothing out there. But that farmer has four bags of seed in his barn. Now, when the farmer looks out over his field, does he say, oh, I wish I had a crop. Oh, I wish I had something to harvest. Oh, I wish I had something to eat. Oh, I wish, oh, I want. Or maybe the negative. Why don't I have? I deserve. They owe it to me. Why should I have to work? Somebody ought to do it for me. No, the right-thinking farmer takes the seed and plants that seed. Now let's think about this seed planting business. Maybe you don't have a farm, maybe you don't have acreage that you plant, but maybe you know a little something about gardening. There's something mysterious that takes place when you plant a seed. Do you cause that seed to germinate? Ultimately, do you cause that seed to germinate? Well, you say, sure, I water it. Where'd the water come from? Well, sure, I make sure that it has plenty of sunlight. Well, where'd the sunlight come from? Sure, I make sure that the soil is prepared. Well, where'd the soil come from? There's a mystery of God that takes place when we're faithful to plant the seed. A harvest comes. We didn't cause it, but we began the process. God honors the planting with a result. Now, when you and I plant seeds of criticism, we get criticism back, right? When you and I plant seeds of negativity, we get negativity back. Well, the same universal principle applies to the spiritual life. When we plant seeds in faith, God in His goodness blesses the seed. It's a statement that has guided my life throughout my walk with Christ and especially in ministry. When I have a need, I plant a seed. When I look and I see something that is missing that I need, I plant a seed. And this morning, in our response to God as we prepare our commitments for 2011, I'm asking you to believe with me that there is supernatural power when we choose as an act of obedient faith to plant a seed. God will bless that seed. What specifically is the seed I'm talking about? The Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything your land produces. Throughout the Old Testament, there's the concept of a tithe, T-I-T-H-E, old-fashioned word, simply means 10%. The first and the best tenth. We had the 10 apples last Sunday morning. Remember the 10 apples? I ate 3 apples in 3 services back to back. Apples used to be my favorite fruit until I ate 3 apples within 3 hours last Sunday morning. A tenth, the best tenth, the first tenth as a seed to say, God, I want to honor you and I want to open my life to even greater contentment, even greater peace for my life. Now, here's the spiritual shift. For most of us, it seems illogical to give when we are in need. Doesn't it? Let me repeat that and make sure you're with me. It seems illogical to give when we're in need. But there is something supernatural at work in the life of a believer. Something so supernatural and powerful, a member of our church tried sort of to take over the 8 o'clock service. She couldn't wait to give her testimony to how when she didn't have it and she gave it, God blessed it. She was just busting to get out of the pew to get to the pulpit and said, Dr. John, may I please give a witness to the goodness of God? Yes, people clapped. Why? Because there is a supernatural reality that does not make sense. Which is why God says in the Old Testament, my ways are not your ways. And for many good people, good believers, at this particular place of financial commitment is where we're torn, terribly torn, between what makes sense and what I can control and what I can figure out and what I can plot on my graph, over and against really believing what Brandon and the band just saying to us, your grace is enough. We sang it vigorously, didn't we? Brandon certainly led it vigorously, didn't he? Oh, that we could translate what we say we believe, what we sing in worship, that we could translate it in a way that leads to vigorous living. Why does God ask us to give? Why does God ask us to give a tenth, a dime for every dollar? Because God is the greatest giver of all. And God wants to have an entry point to build character, to build your character, to build his character into you. And one of the marks of our great God is the character of generosity. Our God is a generous God. Our God is a God who delights to give, and he gave supremely to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, didn't he? He followed up that magnificent work of giving Christ by pouring out, unleashing the Holy Spirit upon all people that we might truly be filled with his amazing grace and his presence. But God is waiting for an invitation. God is waiting for you and me to plant the seed that only he can bless. I hope you have your Bibles open with me to Proverbs chapter 3, because I want us to look again at this passage this morning in a broader context. Look in the Old Testament section of your Bible, pretty big section, about halfway through the Bible, to the book of Proverbs. And you know, I thank the Lord for the gift of a table of content. And if you're struggling to find the book of Proverbs, it's okay. Check out the TOC. Find Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to listen to these verses of very wise instruction. King Solomon writes, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and all mankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now, there's a transition statement that he makes here that's powerful. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's kind of confrontational, isn't it? You mean maybe I don't have it all worked out? You mean maybe I don't have it all figured out? Yes. You mean there might be another perspective? You mean there might be another way? Solomon says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Revere the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Then after that setup, then he says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with the best of everything that you have. And the response to that will be in the mystery of God, in ways that you and I can't fully anticipate, God will, in his way, bless your life in abundant ways. Can anybody give a testimony by simply saying, amen, that God is faithful? When we have a need and plant a seed, that God does prosper us. Can anybody, I'm not asking for a statement. This is certainly not about you. It's about him. Truly, it's about him. But can somebody say amen to the faithfulness of God? Amen and amen. I've been praying about my commitment that I'm making to God and will offer today. I'm real clear that the commitment I am making is not about underwriting a budget to this great church, although I completely support the mission and ministry of this church. And frankly, I think this church has earned your trust in the work that it does. Can somebody say amen to that? Has this church earned your trust in its commitment to ministry and mission? I believe it has. But I am not writing out my commitment card trying to underwrite a budget. In fact, have you noticed that I have said nothing to you about our ministry plans for 2011? I haven't thrown out a number and said, now we all got to hunker down and we all got to work at this fundraising thing and we're going to put a big thermometer up here and every week we're going to color it in until we really, really, we just work hard. I mean, we're going to tighten up our belts and we're going to get this budget passed. No, I haven't said that. Not going to. Why? Because this act of commitment has nothing to do with building a better budget. This act of commitment has everything to do with building better people. And you see, when you and I get to the place that we are fully living the character of God in our financial lives, there will be more than enough resources for mission and ministry. Most churches have to go back to the finance committee and say, we got to cut ministry. We just don't have enough. Our fundraising efforts didn't produce enough money this year. Here's my prayer, that you and I, as we approach tithing, as we come to the place of really planting a seed and God really blesses, that we'll have to go back, that the finance committee will go to the board of stewards and say, come on guys, you got to come up with more stuff to do. You know, we have more resources than you have plans. Come on. Can you imagine what that board of stewards meeting would be like if the finance committee came back and said, come on, dreams, you're dreaming too small. You got to dream a little bit bigger. We don't know what to do with all of this overflow of God's goodness into this church. I've made my commitment. It's pretty easy to make my commitment. You know, here's my salary number, and I just lop off the last digit, right? I'm not real bright, so think to yourself, what is your household income? There it is, right? It just went right across your brain. Now just lop off the last figure, last number. So I'm real clear what my commitment to Jesus Christ is. But this year, I'm adding something to it. Why? Why? Because you're the preacher, you're supposed to. No. Well, because you're trying to show off. No. I believe so powerfully in the critical role of the New Testament church in the lives of people as a partner in the process of salvation worked by Jesus Christ, that I want to give to such a level that God would trust me with more. That's right. I want more money. Do you know why I want more money? So I can give more. A few of us on the staff see day after day after day the incredible needs in this congregation. And there's so many days I think, oh Lord, I've got to get my checkbook. I've got to give some more. I see the need. I know how blessed I am. You know, I really can do without that new this or that new that, that gotta have bling, that gotta have toy. I really can do without that because I see the impact this church makes in the lives of people. Because Jesus Christ has the answers to the most passionate, heartbreaking circumstances of life. I'm asking for God to give me the faith, His grace, to give more than a tithe. I'm planting an extra seed or two in 2011 so that when those circumstances come up and we need a little bit more, I'll be able to say, thank you, Lord, for prospering me a little bit more here. Keep doing your work. Thank you, Lord, that I can participate in changing lives in the name of Christ. Do you see your giving as a seed planting? And have you begun to imagine the impact that it can make? I want to show you an example, sort of a secular example of the impact of giving. You'll see on the video screen one last time, Dr. Adam Hamilton. He's a senior minister of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection. He's the author of our series, Enough. And I want you to hear about a story of a vision-impaired boy who planted a seed.
I want to tell you the story of a young man in our congregation. He's 14 years old, and his name is Jeff Hansen. Jeff has a physical disorder that has caused tumors to develop on the optical nerve, and that's required a pretty serious treatment and chemotherapy. And And it's left him legally blind. If he goes to the doctor with his treatments, with his glasses, he can look at the eye chart and he can see the big E. And he sits in the front row of church so that he has a chance to see a bit better. And Jeff is a young man who God has gifted with several gifts. One is the gift of entrepreneurship. So even as a 12 and 13-year-old, he had this capacity of generating money. And he was written up in the Kansas City Star, you may remember a year or two ago, a story about him. He started up Jeff's Bistro, which was out in his front yard, and his mom would bake things, and he would help, and then they would sell these things. He would sell these things on the front lawn, and the kid generated several thousand dollars from this. And then God gave him the gift of painting, a beautiful artistic gift. And he began to paint, and his paintings became cards that were sold. And then he began to sell his paintings, and even had some commissions. And what he decided to do was to give this away. And he gave these monies over the last couple of years to a foundation that works with kids who have eye disorders. Jeff, in the time that he was 12, 13, and 14, gave $15,000 to these organizations. Now, when he was undergoing chemotherapy, Make-A-Wish Foundation approached him and said, "Hey, Jeff, we'd like to help a wish come true for you. What's a wish you have?" And it's kind of surprising for a 12 or 13-year-old kid, but he said, "You know, what I'd really like to do is meet Elton John someday." Like, I love Elton John. That'd be my kind of wish. But anyway, so he wished to meet Elton John, and he didn't hear back from them for a while. And then, not long ago, they contacted Jeff and his family and said, "You know, you wish to meet Elton John. He's coming to Kansas City. And Elton John has agreed to meet with you before the concert." And so Jeff and his mom and dad had a chance. They got great seats right in the front at the concert. And Elton John met with them behind stage, backstage, just 30 minutes before the show began. And he was gracious and generous with his time and just a really great guy. And Jeff told him his story and gave him a package of note cards with his paintings on the front. And then the last thing that Jeff did before they left is he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check to give to Elton John for the Elton John AIDS Foundation for $1,000. Jeff Hansen, a 14-year-old eighth grader at Kansas School for the Blind, gives a $1,000 check to Elton John's AIDS Foundation. And I'm assuming Elton's pretty speechless. And Elton wanted to bless Jeff, but Elton was the one who was blessed by Jeff. And I'm guessing something changed in him. And he called the photographer, he said, "Would you come over here? You gotta take a picture." Now, this was a picture that was taken backstage with Jeff and Elton John. And a couple weeks later, Jeff receives a telephone call from the foundation that he supports for kids with eye problems. And they said, "Jeff, you won't believe it. We just received a check from Elton John for $5,000 in your name. This is awesome." Now, one other part of the story is before they were finished, Elton asked Jeff, "Hey, Jeff, have you ever been to Dubai?" "No, I haven't been to Dubai yet, Elton." And he said, "Well, how about if you and your mom and dad come to Dubai, I'll fly you over there, and you can come to my concert in Dubai, and we can spend some more time. I want to hear more of your story." Hey, by the way, Jeff's sitting here on the front row. I don't mean to embarrass you, Jeff, but hey, Jeff. And I will tell you that six of Jeff's paintings are on display in the spring today, called Sight for Sore Eyes, is that right? And you might want to take a look at those today as well. But here's what happened in Jeff's life is that, you know, a kid who's 12 and 13 years old understands what life is really about. And though he could have had a pity party and felt sorry for himself, he focused his attention on helping other people. And in the process of that, other people were changed. And other people became more generous. And somehow all of that returned back to be a blessing for him.
You and I may not feel like we have much to offer. Maybe we don't feel like we can afford to offer much. But there is a principle at stake that will come true for you. When you honor God with the best that you have, He will indeed honor you. This morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to put into practice the good news that God's grace is enough. And I hope that you brought your enough commitment card, estimate of giving commitment card. If you didn't, by a miracle of God, there's an extra one in the worship folder for you this morning. Funny how that works out. I'd really like for you to take just a moment and ask God if this is the year that He would give you the faith, the grace, really to put this principle into practice. I know it doesn't make sense. It's illogical by earthly standards. But that God really does want to do something great through you. And when you honor Him with the first and the best of what you have, a dime for every dollar, something great happens. Not only in you, but through you, something great will happen in this church. As the music plays, I'd like to invite you to complete your commitment card. And then when you're ready, as the Lord leads you, I'd like you just to join me in offering your commitment card right here. It's confidential. These will be taken right to the finance office. And maybe you'd like to just kneel here for a moment and ask God to give you the faith to make good on your commitment to put Him first. Would you join me now in offering your commitment card for 2011? Thank you and be seated. Before we leave today, I invite you to find your connection card in the worship folder. If you're new to us today, I'd really be honored if you'd take a moment and complete the information on the front side. We'd just like to be able to reach out to you and say thank you for coming. If you're regular in our presence, just put your name and pertinent information there. On the backside is an opportunity for you to respond to the message today. Perhaps you would choose to internalize Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 with me. You could just summarize Proverbs 3, 9 this way. Honor the Lord with everything that you have. Can you internalize that thought from Holy Scripture? Honor the Lord with everything you have. And then the prayer that's been guiding this series, I hope you'll continue to pray this prayer even when this series ends. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. There are other opportunities for you to respond, to become a member of this great church. Hey, have you been baptized? Have you ever made a personal commitment of faith to Jesus Christ in the company of the fellowship of the church? I'd be so honored to talk with you about what it really means to become a follower of Christ, to really be born again. I'd love to talk with you about being baptized in this place as a symbol of your commitment to the cleansing power of Jesus Christ for your life and the imparting hope of the Holy Spirit. On the bottom is always an opportunity for you to share your heartfelt prayer requests. As I've told you over and over again, I spend Tuesdays interceding for you on my knees before the cross. And I'm so grateful that so many of you have been willing to share really some very vulnerable things about your life. I want you to know that I'm honored to be on your spiritual support team. I'm honored to kneel and intercede for you, to hold you close to the heart of God. I'd like to offer you an opportunity just to complete your connection card, the front side and the back side. Then after you complete your connection card, if you prepare your morning offering, your heartbeat of love in negotiable form, your tangible token of saying, God, I do want to put you first, and I am trusting in you, and here's my seed this week, and Lord, I'm trusting you to bless this seed in faith. Would you take a moment to complete your connection card, prepare your offering, and then in just a minute or two, the offering baskets will come along and deposit both of them in the baskets. I encourage you to do that now. I invite you to rise for the benediction. Receive now God's good word for your life and the seal and sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace. perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen, and good morning.